Today's daf is Chulin Lamed Vav. We're going to start at the top with Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael. We were talking about this pasuk V'dam Chalalim Yishteh, which taught us that the blood of a slain animal, we drink. If we drink it, then that means that it can be drunk. Let's put it that way. I don't know if we really drink it, but it can be drunk, which means that it is like water. If it's like water, then it's machshir the kabel tuma. And then we talked about all the exceptions.
Means drink as in meeting the qualifications of a liquid, right?
I assume that's what they mean. Yeah, I didn't really look up the pasuk in the context of, which would be a good thing to do, in the context of Bilam and what he was talking about, dam chalalim yishteh. Right. I assume he meant actually...
I mean, it sounds like think the about, curse, which is sort of what he
I actually don't think it was part of the... I think, well, remember, his curse came out as a blessing. Mm-hmm. I assume it actually means that they'll be able to drink it, meaning they'll win, they'll be successful in war, which means they'll have blood of dead bodies to drink, which doesn't really mean they're going to drink it. It's a euphemism. Okay, so now we're going to say that comes to exclude dam kiluach, she'eino machshir et hazrein. Okay, dam kiluach is going to be the blood, that's the blood that spurts out right away when you... Shecht, all of a sudden, this big spurt of blood. That dam kiluach is not the blood that we're talking about. Okay? Dam kiluach is not machshir et hazrein. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, now we're moving on to other things about the blood of shechita. Hashochet vihitiz dam al hadlat. If you're shochet and some blood splatters onto, I don't know why this is said in hadalat, vidalat, okay, the gourd. I think it just means on gourd, okay, I don't know why it has to be specifically
meaning
the gourd.
Vegetable?
It means any vegetable, right? Rashi points out, tlusha shel truma, in other words, you're talking about a vegetable that's detached from the ground, because if you remember, if a vegetable is attached to the ground, water coming on it or any liquid doesn't do anything. So the question is, if while you're doing shechita and some of the blood goes onto something of truma, Rabbi Omer huchshar, Rabbi Chia Amar tolin. Okay, so we have to keep this organized, what's going to happen here. Rabbi says it's huchshar, and Rabbi Chia says tolin. Okay, we're going to have to understand what tolim means. Tolim means we're left hanging. Okay, what exactly we're left hanging about, we're going to have some different interpretations here. Okay? So you have, as you're shechting, the dam goes on the tlat, Rebbe says huchshar, Rebbe Chia says tolim. Amar Rabbi Yoshaya. So now the discussion continues. Rabbi Yoshaya says, me'achar, just put it on the board. Rabbi Yoshaya now says, "Me'achar sheRabbi Omer huchshar veRabbi Chia Omer tolin, anu al mi nismoch." So he says, "What are we supposed to do here?" Now go back to our Mishnah. What did our Mishnah say? Blood of shechita, right? According to Tana Kama, is machshir lekabel tuma, because that was the whole thing, right? Hashochei pe'emach hayav o ve'lo yatzam mehem dam derkshirim ne'achalim yadayim esavot, which implied that if the blood there was blood, then it would be machshir the animal. Rabbi Shimon said, "Hukshiru b'shchita," right? And then we had a whole discussion yesterday. Is he says "Hukshiru b'shchita"? The shchita is what turns it into machshir lekabel tuma. Does he mean that and the blood, or not the blood? Okay, so it's possible that Rabbi Shimon says the blood isn't. Now, if the blood, if dam of shchita doesn't work, right? According to Rabbi, dam of shchita would work, and therefore, if it gets on something else while you're shechting, it's going to be machshir lekabel tuma. According to Rabbi Chia, he says tolin, and the question is, why does he say tolin? Maybe he says tolin because maybe we hold like Rabbi Shimon, and the way we understood Rabbi Shimon yesterday, that Rabbi Shimon means, that the way Rav Asi understood it, blood isn't machshir. Okay, now tolin would mean we have a suffix here, right? Sounds like we're not really sure. So maybe we say dam of shechita isn't, maybe we say it is, we don't know. So let's see. So Rabbi Yoshaya says, "Me'achar sheRabbi Omer uchshar, Rabbi Chia Omer tolin, anu al minismoch, bovin ismoch al devrei Rabbi Shimon, shaya Rabbi Shimon Omer." This is according to Rav Asi's interpretation. Shchita machsheret ve'lo dam. Okay, he says, since we don't know who to hold by, let's just assume we're going to hold by Rabbi Chia because it matches. Right, Rabbi Chia equals Rabbi Shimon shita. Okay. So let's just assume that we're going to hold by him that it's like Rabbi Shimon. There's a bit of a problem here. It's not exactly like Rabbi Shimon, but we're going to see. So Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa now is going to try to explain. We're going to have two different explanations to the Machloket Rebbe and Rabbi Chia. And based on that, we're going to have to understand this last line of Rabbi Yoshaya. If we don't know who to hold by, let's just hold by Rabbi Chiya because he matches Rabbi Shimon. Okay, the main problem is going to be that in each of the interpretations, Rabbi Chiya doesn't really match Rabbi Shimon. He has a whole different explanation, and therefore we're going to have to explain all this. So the first explanation is Rav Papa. I'm a Rav Papa. Hakol Modim, meaning Rebbe and Rabbi Chiya, both agree that what? Hecha de'ite l'dam mitchila v'ad sof. Kulei ama lo pligi. D'machshir. Everybody agrees that if the blood gets on the gourd and it stays on the gourd from the beginning of the time of Shechita till the end of the time of Shechita, okay, which means at some point it doesn't have to be from the very first moment of Shechita, but what it means is from the time it got on the gourd until the time you finished the Shechita, the blood was still on the gourd. If that's the case, everybody agrees that machshir, okay, that it is machshir lekabel tumah. Okay, which already, you can already figure out, this doesn't match Rabbi Shimon. Because remember, what did Rabbi Shimon say? Rabbi Shimon said, Shechita is machshir, right? The Shechita itself, velo dam. You follow? Now, according to them, if the dam is there from the beginning of Shechita until the end, then it's going to be machshir lekabel tumah. Why? Ki pligi, here we're going to see now why they what they argue about, let's say while you're shechting, okay, I don't think you necessarily was the one who did this, but somebody else wiped the blood off the animal in between the shechting of the first siman and the second siman.
Off the gourd.
Sorry, what did I meant off the gourd. Thank you. If somebody wiped it off the gourd, okay, so now Rebbe Savar Yeshna l'shechita mitchila v'ad sof v'hai dam shechitahu. Rebbe says, we hold that Shechita starts from the beginning, remember? From the beginning of Shechita, we already call that Shechita, which means this blood is what we call Dam Shechita. And he holds, like Tanakama, who says that Dam Shechita is Machshir Lekabel Tumah, which means the blood got on the animal from at the beginning of Shechita. Then it got wiped off the animal. I'm sorry, why I keep saying the animal? The gourd. The blood got on the gourd. And then it got wiped off the gourd. Now, when the blood gets wiped off the gourd, what happens? Well, it's not there anymore at the end of Shechita. If you say, Yeshan l'shechita mitchila v'ad sof, then we don't care. Because again, assuming we don't hold like Rabbi Shimon, we're holding like Tana Kava. Dam of Shechita is machshir l'kabel tumah. Which means, while it's on the gourd, even though it's only there in the beginning of Shechita, it's still going to be machshir. Because we call Shechita the whole process. So we call it Dam Shechita, and it's machshir l'kabel tumah. Rabbi Chiya Savar Eina L'Shechita Ela Basof. We only call the Shechita at the end. So, meaning, what is it called at the beginning? So, imagine the blood gets on the gourd, gets wiped off. Now, when it got on the gourd, you were doing Shechita, but we don't call it Shechita until the end.
By the
time you got to the end, it was no longer there. So, the blood is not considered blood of Shechita at that point. What's it considered? Dam Makah. Remember, we talked about Dam Makah yesterday, and we said Dam Makah is an exception, right? It's not Machshir, because it's not Dam Chalalim, right? Dam Chalalim is when it actually dies. Dam Makah is not. So therefore, we're going to say like this. Rabbi Chiya Savar Ein L'Shechita Ela Basof, V'Hai Dam Makahu. Okay? So now it's Dam Makah. So that explains the Machloket, Rebbe v'Rabbi Chiya. Although it doesn't explain it fully, because if we're saying the Machloket is in a case where the blood got wiped off the gourd in the middle, then it seems Rebbe Hochshar and Rabbi Chiya should say Lo Hochshar. But Rabbi Chiya says Tolin. So the first thing we have to explain is Umay Tolin. The second thing we're going to have to explain is neither of them hold like Rabbi Shimon. Our whole thing was, remember at the end, Rabbi Yoshaya said, who are we going to hold like? Ah, we'll hold like Rabbi Chiya because he holds like Rabbi Shimon. Now he doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon because remember, Rabbi Shimon said, Dam Shechita is not Machshir. And Rabbi Chiya right now, according to Rav Papa, is saying Dam Shechita would be machshir if the blood was there at the end. Because we'd say, right, because he holds Eina l'shechita ela l'basof. So now, what are we going to say? Umay tolin. Tolin hadavar agmar shechita. Tolin doesn't mean we don't know what the halacha is. We're going to wait and see. Tolin means we wait until the end of shechita to see, is the blood there, is the blood not there? Iite l'dam besof shechita machshir. V'lo, lo machshir. Okay, so right now we're going to say, right, according to Rav Papa, right, Rebbe says huchshar because yeshna l'shechita mitchil levad sof, Right? Which means, if yesh l'shchita mitchila b'atzof, the blood got on the gore in the beginning, the fact that it's no longer there, it doesn't bother us. It's dam shchita, and dam shchita is machshir, right? Just like Tanakhama. According to Rabbi Chiya, what are we going to say? Tolin means we wait till the end of shchita. Right? According to Rabbi, there's no point to wait till the end. As soon as it gets on there in the beginning, we can already say it's machshir v'kabal tuma. We wait till the end of shchita to see is the blood still there or not. If the blood is there, it's machshir. If the blood is not there, it's not. Again, he also holds dam shchita as machshir. Okay? That's what we understand. So now what are we left to explain? When Rabbi Oshaya says, well, who do we hold like Rabbi Chiya already? Let's hold like Rabbi Chiya because he holds like Rabbi Shimon. Now we have to explain that because how can he possibly hold like Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon said dam shchita is not machshir lekabel tuma. So now we have to explain that part. Umay bov v'nismocha dvrei Rabbi Shimon. L'Rabbi Shimon lo machshir. L'Rabbi Chiya machshir. Right? They disagree. So what are we going to say? B'nitkaneach miyu ashvu lahadade. Even though theoretically they don't agree, one holds the dam shchita is machshir, right, Rabbi Chiya, as long as the dam is there at the end of shchita, and Rabbi Shimon holds dam of shchita is not machshir. However, practically speaking, so theoretically speaking, they don't agree. They don't agree in terms of what their opinion is. But practically speaking, they'll agree in a particular case. You know, the halacha will be the same according to both. If the blood is wiped off in the middle of the shchita, off the gourd, what will we say? Marlo achshir, umarlo machshir, umarlo machshir. Okay, right? Havele Rebbe Chad, ve'ein rav shalcha b'mkom shnayim. In the case where the blood is wiped off the gourd, what's going to happen? We're going to go like this, right? If the blood is wiped off the gourd, so Rebbe is going to say it's mukhshar, right? It worked. Machshir lekabel tuma. And Rabbi Shimon will say it's not because dam shchita is not machshir. And Rabbi Chiya will say it's not because he'll say ein l'shchita ever v'sof, and it was wiped off. So practically speaking, we're going to end up two people saying lo machshir and one person saying machshir, and therefore two against one, we're going to hold by the two of them. So it's a numbers game, but it's not really that they, it's not really a resolution. It's just saying since they would both agree in that case, then, and that's the case where there's a disagreement. We don't need to say who do we hold like Rebbe or Rabbi Chiya in a case where the blood is there the whole time because they both agree. The blood's still there at the end. So we only have to find a case where they're going to disagree and then say, well, the fact that we have Rabbi Shimon siding there. It's a bit weak because Tanakhama disagrees with Rabbi Shimon, and Tanakhama is usually the majority. So it's a bit problematic, but okay. But you could say again that maybe the Chachamim would agree with Rabbi Chiya's understanding. That's what you'd have to say. Okay? So now, that's the first explanation. And we explain now everything. Now we're going to have to explain everything according to a different explanation. Rav Ashi Amar, Tolim La'olam Mashma. Tolim doesn't mean we wait to see is there blood at the end and then we're going to find out. Tolim actually means the way it's generally used, which means it's like we wait till Eliyahu comes. In other words, we don't know the halacha. We're going to wait till we get a resolution to it. Okay? Like a teku, right? We don't know. And therefore, we're going to leave it. Now, what would it mean leaving it in this case? What do we always say with tolim? So we're going to get to this a bunch of times today, which is if you don't know what's the whole issue, is it tameh or not, right? If it's mukhshar lekabel tuma, then it can become tameh, it can contaminate other things, right? Then let's say you have truma that became tameh or kodshim. So if they're really tameh, definitely tameh, what do you have to do? You have to burn it. If they're safek tameh, you can't burn it because you don't know, right? You're not allowed to burn truma or kodshim if they're not disqualified. So totally means you have to leave it. You can't burn it, but you can't eat it because it's possibly tameh. So that's what he means. It's a safek. So he says what totally really means is, according to Rav Ashi, we don't know. We're left with a question, and therefore we leave it. So now we're going to have to explain what he means. V'nitkanech l'Rabbi Chiya sipuke mesapkale. His whole question is dafka in a case where it was nitkanech. What's his safek? So according to this interpretation of Rav Ashi, Rebbe is going to say, like he said before, Yeshna l'shchita mitchila v'ad sof, and dam shchita is machshir, and therefore it's going to be machshir l'kabel tumah. Rabbi Chiya is going to say, I don't know if yesh na l'shchita mitchil levad sof or ein na l'shchita el vasof. I don't know what the halach is, and therefore, if it gets wiped off, I don't know what to do with this. Is it machshir? Is it not machshir? Now again, he's still holding the dam shchita as machshir, right? Against Rabbi Shimon. So we're going to again have that same problem with how could we say he holds like Rabbi Shimon. So now we've understood what tolim means. Tolim means I don't know if yesh l'shchita mitchil levad sof or ein l'shchita el levad sof. Umay tolin. So what does it mean then tolin? Like I explained before, lo ochlin velo surfin. On the one hand, we can't eat it if it's trumah or kachim. On the other hand, we also can't burn it. And then umay bo v'nismocha divrei Rabbi Shimon. Le Rabbi Shimon lo machshir. Le Rabbi Chiya sveika. So now again, we say, what do we say? Rabbi Shimon says it's not machshir. And even if you want to say, practically speaking, they both say the same thing, like last time. It is, yes, it's true that Rabbi Chiya theoretically thinks dam shchita is machshir. And Rabbi Shimon thinks dam shchita is not machshir. So they disagree about that. If you want to say, well, maybe practically they say the same thing, they don't say the same thing here, because Rabbi Shimon says it's not machshir. And Rabbi Chiya says, I don't know if it's machshir. So they're really not saying the same thing even on a practical level. So now they're going to say, oh, but there is one thing practically that's the same about both of them. What is it? Le'inyan sreifa miyu shaveh la'adadeh. If this was truma or kudshim, and the question would come up about do you need to burn this, they would agree. Because what would happen? Mar lo sarfeh, umar lo sarfeh. Remember why? Rabbi Shimon will say you don't burn it because it wasn't mukhshar l'kabel tumah. Right? So it can't. It's not susceptible to impurities. And Rabbi Chiya would say, since it's a safek, we can't burn it. So you end up, nobody would say you burn it. And again, havile Rabbi chad ve'ein varev shalachad bimkom shnayim. And Rabbi would say, you do burn it. So in the issue of burning, okay, so dafke and strefa, they would agree. Okay?
Down to
yes, yes. Well, again, this is a classic case of where they had this source, right, that said, we had the machloket, Rebbe and Rabbi Chiya. We have Rabbi Oshaya, who said that we have Rebbe said Hoksha, Rabbi Chiya said Tolin. We have Rabbi Oshaya who said, who do we hold like? Well, we must hold like Rabbi Chiya, because it holds like Rabbi Shimon. And then they were stuck with, you know, what does Tolin mean? How does Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Chiya match up? And the way they understood the machloket between Rebbe and Rabbi Chiya made no sense according to the terminology and the words used and everything, and they therefore had to come up with explanations as how to understand both the Tannaitic source and then Rabbi Yoshiah's comment on the Tannaitic source. So it's a good example of where you have something and then you kind of struggle with, well, how does this fit in and how does it work out? Okay. Now we're getting to a question of Rish Lakish, which is basically going to take us to the end of the daf. By Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Sarud shel menachot. Okay, you can hear my voice is sarud. What's sarud? It's dry. Okay? Sarud is a dry mincha, meaning it's solet that wasn't mixed well yet with the oil, which means that it's not mukhshar l'kabel tum'ah. Okay? So now, however, it's not mukhshar l'kabel tum'ah from a liquid. But what is it? You've designated it in a kli sharet, which means, remember what we learned the other day? Chibat ha-kodesh mechasharto. The fact that you made this into something sanctified, that already makes it susceptible to impurities. So now they want to know, Rabbi Rish Lakish wants to know, when we say the chibat ha-kodesh mechasharto, okay, do we mean that it's 100% Tame, meaning that not only, okay, I'm going to read this inside in a minute, but here, I'll read it inside and I'll explain. Monim bo rishon v'sheni, o ein monim bo rishon v'sheni. Okay? Do we say, not only is this item Tame, but it can also, remember, there's always two aspects to impurities. Number one, can it become Tame? Let's say it comes in contact with an avatuma, it can become a rishon. Number two, can it transfer to a sheni? Or if it was a sheni, can it transfer to a shlishi? Do we say that not only can it become tamei, but can it also pass on impurities? What he's basically asking is, when we say chivat ha-kodesh mechasharto, do we mean in exactly the same way as liquids? Or liquids have more power, so to speak, to be machshir, that not only can they become tamei, they can also pass on impurities. So here he continues his question inside. He says, "Ki mahan yachibat hakodesh lifsule gufe, but lemimin rebbe rishon v'sheni lo, o dilma loshna." Do we say that when mahan yachibat hakodesh, when chibat hakodesh works, that's mahan, it's effective lifsule gufe, it's effective to pasul it itself? So now let's say, right, this is kodshim, so let's say a sheni comes in contact with it, or even a shlishi comes in contact with it, it will disqualify it. But is it enough, but is it strong enough also to start saying this can be metame other things? Or maybe, the first option is, but not lemim nebe rishon b'sheni, only to be disqualified, but not to pass on impurities. Or maybe lo shna, maybe we say no. Once we say something is, creates a susceptibility to have impurities, then means susceptible to impurities, no matter, you know, all the whole way. So Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar tries to answer his question. He says, Tashma, let's learn it from here. Okay, I'm going to read you the whole pasuk first. It's in Vayikra Yud Aleph Lamed Daled. It's talking about things that, about liquids getting on items to make them susceptible to impurities. Mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel, asher yavo alav mayim yitma. Okay, water comes upon it, it will become tameh. Okay, you have food, water comes upon it, that's the classic. Bechol mashket asher yishateh, bechol kli yitma. Okay, and likewise a drink will also be tameh. Okay, a few psukim later, I'm just going to read again, in Lamed Chet, four psukim later, it says, v'chi yutan mayim al zera, v'nafal min nivlatam alav, if mayim gets on zera, right, on some seeds, and a nevela gets upon that, tamehu lachem. Okay, so you notice here there's two psukim that talk about water creating this makabal tuma issue. So what does Rabbi Elazar say? He says, let's look. It says in the pasuk, mikola ochel asher yachel, v'chulei, right? Asher yavo alav mayim. That was the first pasuk. V'chulei. Ochel haba b'mayim huchshar, ochel sheino baba mayim lo huchshar. It sounds like ochel, right, that comes in contact with water works. And it works to create impurities, susceptibility to impurities. But if not, it's not. So now they say, and that's his answer to Rish Lakish, meaning no, it can't pass on impurities. So they say, Atar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, lele ochel haba b'mayim. And that's what? You think Rish Lakish didn't know that pasuk? Of course he knows that's the case with water. But kachi kamei b'ayle. His question was, chibat hakodesh ke ochel haba b'mayim dame o lo. His question was, yes, knowing full well there's a pasuk that says water, his whole question was, well, is chibat hakodesh like water that we could say whatever's true for water will be true for that also? That was his question. Okay, so therefore, that's not a good answer. So now they say, Rabbi Elazar nami mi yiture krai kamra. When Rabbi Elazar said that, what he meant was from the extra psukim. Meaning, what did I just tell you? There's two psukim that say so. So why are there two psukim that seem to say the same thing? Once it says in Lamed Chet, v'chiyutamayim alzera, why do you need mikola ochel asher yachel? So, obviously, what's the reason? Lavli mi'ute chibat hakodesh, right? When you say something twice, it means you want to stress this and only this. Isn't coming to exclude chibat hakodesh, and that's Rabbi Elazar's proof to answer Rish Lakish's question, and almost to say, Rish Lakish, why are you even asking a question? Silly question, because it's obvious from the fact that the pasuk repeats, right, there's two psukim that say it, it's excluding chibat hakodesh. So what will we answer to say, no, there really is still a question? We'll have a different reason as to why the pasuk is repeated. Chad b'tumat meit, v'chad b'tumat sheretz. One is talking about tumat meit, and one is talking about tumat sheretz, utzrichi. And you need both. Okay, now we're going to say why each one has a certain chumrah that you might have thought only that needs to be hukshar, or I would say like this. If something has such a chamor din, what might you say? Maybe an item could be that comes in contact with either the tumat meit or the sheretz, whichever one in each argument we're going to say is more chamor, right? Because we're going to argue it both ways. If you have a tumah that's so chamor, maybe that could get on something and make it impure even if water hasn't come upon it before, right? What do we always say? In order to become impure, you have to have water create a susceptibility for tumah. Because what did we say? What's the whole logic here? That there's no gemar malacha, right? You take a vegetable out of the ground, unless you wash it, no one's going to eat it like that. It's full of dirt. So unless it comes in contact with water, it's not gemar malacha, just like a kli, until it's formed, is not going to be susceptible to impurities. But maybe you would only say that If it's a lighter tuma, but in a very strong tuma, maybe we'd say it can cast its impurity on this item, even if it's not, it hasn't gotten in contact with water. Comes the pasuk to teach you. That's why we need two psukim, to teach you specifically that it's in both cases. Utsriche.
Is water a shorthand for all seven?
Yeah. Water is shorthand for all seven. Okay, any liquids. Utsriche. Di iash meinan tuma made. Okay, the first, you might have thought tumat meid is more chamor, but here they're going to start off saying sheretz is more chamor. Why is a sheretz more chamor? Because a sheretz is metame at the size of a lentil, okay? Whereas tumat meid is metame at the size of a kezayit. So there's a difference in terms of the shiur that is metame. So therefore, you might have thought, since tumat meid requires a higher, a greater shiur, and therefore, you might say, sheretz de mitame b'cha adasha, ema loli bai hechsher, because the mitame in such a small amount, maybe it's also mitame without having to have liquid come in contact with it. V'iash minan sheretz, and if you just had sheretz, what would you say? Mishum de lo mitame tumat shiva. What do we know? Tumat meid is mitame for 7 days. Aval meid de mitame tumat shiva, ema loli bai hechsher, but maybe a meid, which has such a strong tumah because it's a tumah of 7 days, whereas tumat sheretz is just a tumah for a day, maybe you would say tumat meid doesn't need hechsher lekabel tumah, and therefore it's tzricha. So we've now explained that you need the two psukim to specifically talk about which types of tumah are we talking about, meaning it applies to all tumah, rather than relating to, does it apply only to water, or could there be other things also? Now, so remember, we have Rish Lakish's question. Let's just go back. Rish Lakish's question is, what do we say when we say Chibat HaKodesh, does that have the power to also transfer Tumah to other items or not? And we have Rabbi Elazar's rejection, which said, of course it can't. Isn't it obvious from the Psukim that only water can? So now we're going to have some questions on Rabbi Elazar, who thinks that there's a difference, an obvious difference. Mativ Rav Yosef. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Huchshiru b'shchita. Rabbi Shimon says, right, shchita itself can be machshir, the animal, to be makabel tumah, or anything for the, right? Dama shchita works. The shchita itself works, sorry, I was confusing it with the other. Shchita itself works to say that this behemah is makshar l'kabel tumah, because again, we view shchita as gemar malacha for this end. So now, what did he say? Huchshiru b'tumah. How do we read huchshiru? Right? Isn't it obvious that it would be also lemimne be rishon v'sheni? Amai. And according to you, Rabbi Elazar, who says it's only mayim, amai, halav ochel abab mayim, who, right? The animal didn't come in contact with water first. Okay, so what do we say? Amarle. And that's what he wants to prove is like this. Rabbi Shimon just said Huchshiru. Huchshiru sounded like it's Mukhshar the Kabel Tumah for all intents and purposes, which means that Rabbi Elazar tried to make this theory. Rabbi Elazar tried to say it's obvious that only liquids make it not right, make it both that it can become Tameh and it can pass on impurities. Other things, right, like Shchita and Chibat HaKodesh, and as Rish Lakish's question was Chibat HaKodesh, are questionable. We don't know, right? But according to Rabbi Elazar, other things for sure can't have it carry on impurities to Rishon V'Sheni. Okay, there's no such thing according to Rabbi Elazar. So he says, how could you say there's no such thing? Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah says, Huchshiru, it sounds like Huchshiru, just like water. So Amarle Abaye, Abaye answers, no. Asa'uhu kechsher mayim midi Rabbanan. Meaning, when Rabbi Shimon says Huchshiru b'shchita, he doesn't mean Tuma midi Oraita. He means Tuma midi Rabbanan. And Rabbi Elazar is talking on a Doraita level. Now, what's the relevance Doraita Durabanan? It's what we said earlier. If you say it's only Tumah Midurabanan, then if it possels Truma, it's only posseling Truma Midurabanan, which means we can't burn the Truma. Because Midoraita, it might be perfectly good Truma. So there's a big difference whether we. So now we're going to say Rabbi Elazar was talking on a Doraita level, and the Mishnah was talking on a Durabanan level. And therefore, you can't ask a question from the Mishnah on the Doraita because it wasn't talking on the same about the same thing. And have the same type of answer on Rabbi Zeira's question. Now Rabbi Zeira is going to bring a similar question on Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi is going to answer it in the same way. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Tashma, let's learn from here. Habotzer lagat, okay, you collect the grapes and you put them in the press. What? Right, the wine press. Now what happens? we talked about this before, there's some liquid that comes out of the, right, whether it's the grapes or the olives, there's some liquid, the natural liquids inside, and they start coming off onto the, right, in the ghat. Now what happens to them? The ghat is a open basket, and that liquid drops onto the floor. So now remember, when you say something is mukhshar lekabel tumah, you have to have intent that you wanted the liquid to get on there. Since this liquid drops onto the floor, the question is that liquid significant or not? So Shammai Omer Huchshar, it is significant. Hillel Omer Lo Huchshar. So let me start with Hillel. Hillel says it's not machshir lekabel tumah because it's going to fall on the ground in a few minutes, and it's obviously not liquid that you're ever interested in. Shammai says you have to be gozer because maybe you put it in. If you put in a barrel where there's a kupot megufafot, it has like a tar, you know, it's closed basically, it's sealed. Okay, so if you put in a sealed basket, then the liquid will stay on it, and then it will not yelech libud, and then it will be significant. So therefore, he says, because of that chashash, we're going to say it's machshir. Veshatik lehilel shamai. And basically, Hillel eventually agrees with Shammai. He says, you're right. I think we should, you know, there's good reason to be gozer. And therefore, he says in the end, it is huchshar. So now what will we say? Amai. Halav ochel haba b'mayim hu. This isn't ochel haba b'mayim because this isn't really liquid. This is just the stuff that's coming off of the, you know, it's not like a liquid came upon it. So amar lehu abaye. Again, we're going to say, asa'u kech shemayim midrabanan. This is only a Durabanan, and that doesn't, right? Rabbi Elazar is talking on a Doraita level. So now, remember where we started. Rish Lakish asked a question, what do we do with, if Chibata Kodesh Mechasharto, do we say it can carry on Rishon B'Sheni? We brought, Rabbi Elazar tried to say, obviously it says in the Psukim that this is not the case. So now comes Rav Yosef and says, Amina lecha ana huchsheru b'shchita. I brought you the Mishnah about huchsheru b'shchita to try to prove against Rabbi Elazar. Va'at amartli asa'u kech shemayim midrabanan, right? And you said this is all doraita. And then amal Rabbi Zeira, and then Rabbi Zeira again brought a question. Va'amartli, and you said asa'u kech shemayim. L'Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish nami asa'u kech shemayim. In other words, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish's question was all on a Durabana level. In other words, do we consider this that it's going to pass on impurities? So therefore, Amale, one second. So he's saying now that, in other words, if you're going to tell me that all these cases where Huchsheru B'Shchita and the Botzer is all Durabana, and Durabana, we're going to assume it does pass on impurities, then that would be the obvious answer to Rish Lakish. The obvious answer to Rish Lakish is, yes, it passes on impurities, Durabana. Then Rish Lakish wouldn't really have a question, as it's obvious. So then, because remember, Rabbi Elazar is trying to reject his question. Instead of, he's saying, basically, you're answering his question. You're basically saying, yeah, midrabanan. And if you're assuming this is only doraita, midrabanan, it would pass impurities, then you're basically answering this question instead of rejecting it. So here comes Abaye to understand how to read it. Atu Rish Lakish, Amarle, he says to him now, Abaye answers Rav Yosef, Atu Rish Lakish, litlot kamabayle? What you think I was, Rish Lakish was talking about Durabanan, what does it mean Durabanan? Litzlot, that you have to leave it hanging because you don't know, is it going to be, right? If you're not sure, if it's only Durabanan, then you're stuck because if it gets Tame, you're going to say, well, it's Tame only me Durabanan, so we can't eat it, but we also can't burn it. No. Ki kamibayle lisrof. Rish Lakish was clearly asking, is it me d'oraita and do you have to burn it? Michlal dechibat kodesh. Okay, so now they're going to say, so now, according to this, what can you assume from Abaye? Michlal, from here you can infer dechibat kodesh d'oraita, right? Now you can infer that Abaye understands that this whole thing of chibat kodesh mechasharto is a halacha d'oraita, because Abaye is saying the Rish Lakish's question is on a d'oraita level. Okay? We have a lot of things today, by the way, where there were discussions that happened earlier, and people later are trying to understand what was the question, what were they talking about? Were they talking about d'oraita? Were they talking about d'rabbana? So now, before they get to the continuation of this, they have to say, Minalan, where will Rish Lakish come up with this fact that chibat hakodesh is machshir something on a doraita level. You'd have to have some sort of a pasuk. Ilem amidachtiv, if you want to say it's from the pasuk that says v'habasar asher yiga bechol tamei. Okay, right? This is talking about kodshim meat. It says a meat that gets in contact with anything tamei. So now, if you're talking about kodshim meat, and you're saying it can become tamei, right? This is the whole thing about you can't have basar kodshim that becomes tamei. You have to destroy. So, you know, you have to burn. Hai basar di itkasher b'mai. How is this meat? The pasuk says the meat that becomes tamei. It never talks about how did it become susceptible to impurities. Ilema di itkasher b'dam. If you want to say maybe the blood, we already know that the blood of kodshim, what did we say? The blood of kodshim doesn't render something susceptible. Why? Because remember, it has to be blood that's like water. Water gets spilled on the floor, on the ground, right? Now, the blood of sacrifices, we use the blood of sacrifices. It's used to sprinkle on the mizbeach.
Although we certainly discussed it falling on the ground and collecting it.
We did, but its intent is to be used. Its intent, it could fall on the ground technically, but it's not supposed to. Okay, you need the blood. So therefore, it's not blood that you're going to spill on the floor. Therefore, if you want to say the itkashar b'dam ha'am Rabbi Chiya bar Abam Rabbi Yochanan minayin l'dam kodashim she'eino machshir. How do we know it's not machshir? Shene'amar lo tochlenu ala aretz yishpachenu kamayim. This is about regular blood, of regular shechita. Ha'nishpach kamayim machshir she'eino nishpach kamayim eino machshir. Right? If it's not spilled like water on the floor, it's not machshir. So it can't be that. Ela de itkashar b'mashkai beit mitbachaya. Maybe it was mukshar by the waters and liquids that are in the slaughterhouse area in the Beit HaMikdash. Remember that area with all the rings? So there, what happened, right? You rinse off the animal. So maybe it's from that. V'ham Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina, mashke beit mitbachaya lo dayan shehen dachan, ela she'en machshirin. It's not enough to say, not only are they pure, okay, meaning the water, any liquids from there are never considered tme'im, but all the more so, she'ein machshirim. Not only that, they're not even considered liquids that are machshir l'kabel tumah. Now, how could you say that? It's a liquid. So what I read is that, there's two ways of reading this. One is to say, it's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Okay, it's just halacha l'moshe m'sinai. There's no logic to it. It's just it was passed down. First of all, even before we get there, you could see why there would be a motivation to say that, because they wanted to limit impurities in the mikdash. If you get the meat becomes tamei, which could happen very easily, right? We'd rather avoid that. So therefore, they said, the liquids there don't render it susceptible to mekabel tumah. Okay. Now, mayim, okay, in general, water is only machshir. Okay, this is different from the other liquids. That's what you said before. Is it like all the other liquids? Well, yes, all the other liquids are learned out from water, but there's a difference between them. The other liquids are generally found in a cup or in a bowl or in a, right? You don't find them generally attached to a body of water, let's say, like a mayan. But water in its natural state is flowing, is in a body of water, is what we call mechubar. It's attached to the ground. So the water in the Beit Mikbachaya is not attached to the ground. So water that's not attached to the ground, since it's not water in its natural state, generally is not machshir l'kabel tumah. However, whenever we talk about water, it is. So what they say is, one explanation here is that water only is midrabbanan a problem, and the rabbis weren't gozer in the Beit HaMikdash, so is to limit impurities in the Beit HaMikdash. So they said the liquids of the Beit Mikbachaya don't render something susceptible to tumah. Okay, that's all because, now, the problem here, a little bit, is that if you want to say they wanted to lessen the amount of impurities, but we just said the chibat hakodesh mechasharto, so it doesn't really matter whether water comes in contact with it, in and of itself, that it was sanctified already creates a situation of, that it's mukshar l'kabel tumah, but maybe you could say if the liquids hit it at an earlier stage before chibat hakodesh kicks in, right? The question is when exactly chibat hakodesh kicks in. Anyway, it's a good question. That's why saying halacha l'moshe m'sinai maybe is a little better, because it's just, there's no logic to it, and you can't argue with the logic. Okay, so again, we're trying to figure out where can we see a source from the Torah about this chibat hakodesh. So, again, you can't say the basara, how could this habasara shir yigah b'chol tameh, how did it become mukshar l'kabel tumah? It can't be from the blood of the kodshim, because we already said that. Can't be from the mashkim beit mitbachaya, the chitema tirgama adam, ha mashke kamar. In other words, if you want to say maybe it means the dam, that the mashke beit mitbachaya that's not mitame is the dam, it says ha mashke. In other words, you can't say the beit mitbachaya is referring to the blood from the animal, it must be referring also to other liquids because it says mashke, the mashkim, right? Plural, which means it would include water. El alav, it must be de itkashar b'chibat hakodesh. Okay? The only other way this water could be, this animal could become tame, would have to be from chibat hakodesh. And there's your source. So then they say, wait a minute. V'dilma kid Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Maybe it should be like what we saw in the name of Rav Yehuda who said the name of Shmuel. De Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Kigon shaitalo parash shel zivchei shlamim v'hevira benachal. Okay? Let's say you had a parah of shlamim. And on the way to the Beit HaMikdash, it walked through a nachal, a stream. And then, shachata, you brought it to the Beit HaMikdash, you shechted it. Ba'adayim mashkin. Now remember, an animal when it's alive is not susceptible to impurity. The fact the water got on it before is just like fruits attached to the ground, or vegetables attached to the ground, which, right, or fruits attached to a tree, vegetables attached to the ground, which, you know, don't render it susceptible to impurity. But what happened? The water was still on it. Adayim mashket tofeach aleha. And after you shechted it, the water drips onto the meat of the animal. So maybe that's the case, and it's nachivat hakodesh, in which case you can't prove it from this pasuk. So basically, we reject that pasuk as a proof for him. So they say, ah, but ela miseifa. Look at that pasuk. The pasuk says, v'habasar asher yiga b'chol tamei lo ye'achel, ba'esh yisareif, right? It has to be burned. V'habasar kol tahor yochal basar. Now, what word is obviously unnecessary in this pasuk? The second, v'habasar. Why do we repeat v'habasar? So what do they say habasar comes to include? Generally, what becomes impure? We always say ma'achal o'mashkeh, right? Drinks and liquids. But what do they say here? Habasar comes lirabot etzim u'livona. So they say, right, it comes to include also the trees are susceptible to impurity, the logs that are in the Beit HaMikdash, and the frankincense. Now, etzim u'livona b'nei achila ninu, they're not foods. How could they possibly become susceptible to impurities? Ela chibata kodesh mecharshalehu umeshavile ochel hachanami chibata kodesh mechasharta. Okay, so now what do they say? Oh, it's obvious that since that word habasar comes to include other things, right? It comes to include the etzim and the levona. How could they possibly be susceptible to impurities if they're not food? Right? It's a special drasha in the pasuk. Habasar comes to include because chibata kodesh. So therefore, we're going to say that it's mechasharta. So now they say, okay, so now we're back to the beginning. So what have we proven? Okay, we have to remember where we started. I told you Rish Lakish was going to take us to the end of the daf. So Rish Lakish said, his whole question was, now that we've proven there's a halacha of chibat kodesh, mida oraita, which Abaye had assumed, now we want to know, mida oraita, does it pass on impurities, or is it only that mida oraita can become tamei? Notice the context of the pasuk. The pasuk is, ba'esh yisareif. It gets burned. Does that mean, now we can see also why there was a havamina to say maybe it only gets burned, but maybe it doesn't pass on impurities. And maybe only, if we go back to the psukim about the water, only when water gets on it can it pass on impurities. So now they're going to say, my. So now we're back to Rish Lakish's question. Ki mahan yachibat hakodesh. I know you're getting excited, you're going to get an answer, but unfortunately not. Ki mahan yachibat hakodesh lepsulei degufei, aval lemimne beirisham b'sheini lo, Odilma Loshna. So now they just repeat, because who can remember Rish Lakish's question? And the answer is taken. We don't, in fact, know the answer. Okay, that took us to the next mission.